Hello, this is Josh. You're listening to The Invitation. If each year saw one fault rooted out of us, we would move quickly toward perfection. That's the insight of Thomas A. Kempis from his classic text, The Imitation of Christ. And how is it that a book published in the first half of the 15th century is speaking a kind of wisdom to us today that we have forgotten? So here, just a couple days before we begin our Lent season for 2024, I wanted to offer a resource for you to slow down and consider how to make a plan. So the way I'd like to frame this for your consideration is that we would screw around with our dependencies. So again, as I have been doing through the different episodes in the last couple of years, I want to begin with confession. I want to lead through weakness. As I facilitate the invitation and a couple formation programs, practice spiritual direction, I don't come here at the beginning of Lent pretending that I have mastered these things. As a matter of fact, I'm here podcasting and offering these resources because I need help. I need relationships. I need community. I need to work with others to set up a calendar to make a plan. If I feel any agency to do any of these things, to facilitate spiritual direction and these formation experiences, if there's any reason why I should be bothering with this at all, what I explain to folks is that I've just been desperate thinking through these things perhaps longer than others have, and in all of my attempts I have collected a whole lot more failure. So if you are coming to Lent overwhelmed, spiritually exhausted, and even intimidated, thinking, I don't know how to take Lent 40 days very seriously, I want to say that you're not alone. So this vocabulary of thinking about our spiritual practices as a way to screw around with our dependencies, that idea arose out of the School of Prayer. We launched the SOP in the fall of 2019, just prior to the pandemic. Our in-person sessions and my attempt to practice the SOP in the prison was shut down because of quarantine. If you recall the intensity of the summer of 2020, with all of the political and racial upheaval throughout our country, I was trying to figure out throughout that summer if I could or should even bother offering the School of Prayer again. How do I do something similar to what I'm attempting here with you in Lent? How is it that you invite people into an intentional conversation about how they live their lives in practical ways so that they can open up and be more cooperative to give and receive God's love? How does anyone do that at any time, but especially during that very intense season that seems to have only continued since then in different strange ways? So I had redesigned the School of Prayer experience to engage not just classic contemplative vocabulary, but to also engage these questions about justice in our bodies. Justice when it comes to loving our neighbors as ourselves. And so I decided that we would spend time reading through Howard Thurman's Jesus and the Disinherited, as well as James Cone's The Cross and the Lynching Tree. So that summer, dealing with my insecurities, my doubt, my sense of imposter syndrome, wondering who in the world would want to try this practice that was already somewhat rigorous. And now I'm making it even more intense. And that was the fall when we had 30 plus people sign up for the School of Prayer. So I'm sitting in my backyard with one of the cohorts for the School of Prayer in the fall of 2020. Quarantine masks were still an issue, so we were outside. I'm trying to pitch this in practice that we've chosen a half-day retreat, and I'm trying to call these folks to imagine how do we make a plan for the next 9 months to become holy, to make a plan to have an intention to collaborate more freely in this give and receive of God's affections, God's life. And the vocab that came out of me that morning was this idea: we're all intimidated, we're all exhausted, none of us really knows how to do this Godward life well. Instead of attempting to consider our prayer as some complete overhaul, let's just simply break it down to how to screw around with our dependencies. So to be able to take this seriously, to approach the School of Prayer, or in this case, as we are on the cusp of Lent, to take this seriously, we have to have come to a place of inner poverty and awareness of our deep need for help. To screw around with our dependencies, to want to try to do that, means that we have to understand that there's something to be overcome, that something about the way we've been living, the things that we've been dependent upon, it's not working out. So as I mentioned, the first attempt at the School of Prayer was both a cohort inside the prison and then another cohort outside. Everything I continue to learn about what Lent can be, what the School of Prayer might be, these things arise out of the blessed 6 years I had prior to the pandemic to sit in contemplative conversation with a group of men inside the E.C. Brooks Correctional Facility. We go through various stages of conversion, transformation throughout our lives. You might think of this in terms of your conversion from middle school into high school, from high school to college, from college into young adulthood. There's a conversion when we find a partner, when we have children. I used to serve as the board chair for an urban farm here in Holland. And I came to understand that each of these shareholders was going on a conversion experience to understand, where does my food come from? Where does my waste go to? Why would I drive out here to buy this nutrient-dense vegetables when I could get it so much more easily at the local grocery store? Various experiences in nature or with art might serve as kinds of conversion experiences. I climbed that mountain of the Collegiate Peaks in Colorado, or I read that novel that took me so long, but it changed me. I've been spending time trying to figure out the summer rhythms for my children. A week-long experience at a camp can serve as a kind of conversion. Was sitting in deep, listening conversations with incarcerated men inside of a prison over the span of 6 years, I could say is dramatically the most profound conversion experience I've ever had in my faith journey. And in many ways, what I'm attempting to do with the invitation is to translate the goodness of what I was able to taste and see with my incarcerated brothers. And if I could summarize it into one core idea, it's this question of our dependencies. When everything in my life, everything in my capacity to control my life has been taken away from me, how is it that I then choose to get out of bed? What is it that I intend to live for and to live through? So, to entertain Lent, to make an intentional decision to try to reorient myself towards God begins with this deep understanding, a suspicion that my life as I know it is troubled. The 12-step vocabulary of addiction recovery groups became part of my working vocabulary while inside the prison. A couple of my brothers had all of the 12 steps and many quotable sections of the wisdom of the 12 steps memorized. It's fair to say that the 12 steps are America's greatest contribution to spiritual practice. And of all of the wisdom from the 12 steps, we begin with the very first step. I am powerless over my drug of choice, and my life as I know it is unmanageable. So the gift of being with my incarcerated brothers was to be able to walk into a room where everybody understood that we were all criminals. We're all addicts. We're all offenders. And somehow our lives have become unmanageable. So as you consider how you might approach Lent, it's important to make a plan. But it's going to be difficult to make that plan unless you have come to terms with your deep need for help. And so once we have a sense of our need for help, as we enter into making a plan to practice Lent with some kind of intentionality, it's important to set our expectations. So I'd like to refer you back to the 40 Ways to Spend 5 Minutes with God. It's a prayer guide that I rewrote and had offered some podcasting through Advent on how to use that prayer guide in our longing and expectation. In the introduction to that prayer guide, I had offered some thoughts about how we posture ourselves towards expectations. I offer, beware of expectations. The holy wager of prayer is that we open ourselves to love without expectation. Expectation is a great hindrance. Expectation is that God will reveal himself to us in a certain way at a certain time. Expectation is that our experience of prayer today will match what we have experienced in the past. Expectation is the false idea that only big, long, and serious prayers will change us. This kind of expectation turns out to be more about us, about our spiritual masculinity, than about the loving presence of God. Expectation is that if we pray a certain way, then God will love us more. Prayer is not a way to earn God's favor. It is a way to surrender to God's love. Prayer is not about how we can get God's attention, that he should pay more attention to us. God is already intimately acquainted with every detail of our lives. God is more aware of us than we are of ourselves. Prayer is the way God gets our attention. So as we make a plan for Lent, the question is how to set our expectations appropriately so that we don't set ourselves up for failure. As a matter of fact, from my study of John Cassian, this was an early monastic thinker, practitioner, is that the wisdom from the desert practice, from the Abbas and the Amas, was that the extent to which we strive beyond God's grace is the extent to which we'll experience regression. So this is where the vocabulary of screwing around with our dependencies came from. So as I considered this idea of taking a measurable step, I recalled something that one of my former students from the college had said about Thomas Aquinas and his wisdom from The Imitation of Christ. So I want to unpack some of that here for you. This is from chapter 11 of Seeking Peace of Mind and Spiritual Progress. Aquinas begins with this same appeal to acknowledging our deep need for help. Aquinas writes, "We are too occupied with our affections and too anxious about earthly things. Seldom, too, do we entirely conquer even a single fault, nor are we zealous for daily growth in grace. And so we remain lukewarm and unspiritual." Aquinas is offering us some vocabulary about how our lives have become unmanageable. He goes on to say, "If we were fully watchful of ourselves and not bound in spirit to outward things, then we might be wise for salvation and make progress in divine contemplation. Our great stumbling block is that, not being freed from our affections and desires, We do not strive to enter into the perfect way. And when even a little trouble strikes, too quickly we are discouraged and run to the world to give us comfort. He's naming the ways that we return to our addictions. One fundamental way to discern the state of our soul is to consider, where do I find my rest? We have myriads of ways to self-soothe. If I'm agitated and restless, I can very quickly find some diversion, some preoccupation, something online, a piece of news to be indignant about, something new to buy. I can find some food to satisfy myself with. I can check out and give up on the day. Or the opposite. I can work harder and ignore my deep need for help by just trying to overperform and to stay busy. So when it comes to making a plan for Lent, the question is, what are you already living through? What is it that you are currently finding rest in? How is it that you can practically orient yourself on a daily practice towards something that troubles you, that somehow aggravates your sense of dependence on life as it currently is? Do you remember the story of the princess and the pea? The plot device works around this crazy idea that a true princess would be able to sense the agitation of a pea buried underneath multiple mattresses if she was sleeping on top of them in all of her luxurious sense of care. She would know there's something deep down underneath that is wrong. There's just this tiny little bean, this small pea, that is driving me nuts and keeping me awake. So for your consideration, this is why I believe something like 40 ways to spend 5 minutes with God is potentially significant for you. You know, it doesn't have to be 5 minutes. But just to consider, if you adjusted your day just by 5 minutes of God activity a day, you would notice something significant. And I think Thomas A. Kempis helps us understand this wisdom. He goes on to say in chapter 11, if each year saw one fault rooted out of us, we would move quickly toward perfection. On the contrary, we often feel that we were better and holier when we were first converted than after many years of salvation. Zeal and progress ought to increase day by day. Yet now it seems a great thing if one is able to retain some portion of his first fervor. If we would put some slight stress on ourselves at the beginning, then later we would be able to do all things with ease and joy. Again, right there, if we would put some slight stress on ourselves. So if I could offer one more particular idea for your consideration, I believe we make too much of fasting without understanding that everything that we attempt in our prayer is a kind of fast. If you were to consider that you chose to add more scripture for 5 minutes. Or if you feel called to centering prayer, some sort of wordless practice for 5 minutes, consider that as you add that 5 minutes to your day, you are having to find that time somewhere in order to say yes to that 5 minutes. You're having to say no to something else. You're having to carve out some kind of time. I am a big advocate about identifying the positive things instead of just thinking about the negative, that I'm going to cut myself off from something that is good and holy. But the question is also, what then am I adding to open more freely, more readily in a giving and a receiving of God's love? Things really changed for me when I realized that I really had to start exercising. I'm such an internal person who lives in and through my feelings and my thoughts that I have never loved exercising. So once we put some of these positive pieces into our lives, how is it that I am eating the food already that's on the table? How am I sleeping? How am I exercising? And I'd also say, how is it that you're living into your creative self? How are you able to be playful and creative in your daily life? For my own rule, my own practices, I have to have little music-making devices around me all the time. Most of the music that you hear in the podcast began when I took 5-10 minutes to just doodle around some sort of creative expression of sound. So, again, we have a deep need for help. Our lives, as we know them, are unmanageable. We are powerless over our addictions of choice. In order to find transformation, we need to find ways to make a plan. The invitation here is to make a plan that is approachable and manageable, that will not set us up to fail. And whatever that discipline we attempt through Lent is about troubling our dependencies. And much of that could creatively become a way to nourish ourselves. As I said in the prayer guide, prayer is not so much about our capacity to get God's attention as it is about putting ourselves in a posture daily so that God can get our attention. I do offer the prayer guide for your consideration. It was specifically designed as 40 movements to be paired with 40 days of Lent. I don't know if that necessarily means that you need to work through each step, each movement of prayer for each day. As a matter of fact, if we take Akempis's wisdom here, the most helpful thing for you might be picking one of the prayer practices from that prayer guide and sticking to that for the entirety of the Lenten period. If any of this raises questions that you'd like to ask me directly, don't be shy. I enjoy getting feedback from podcast listeners. You can reach me at josh@theinvitationcenter.org. And theinvitationcenter.org is also the website. If you go to the tab at the top that says Formation, you'll see underneath that menu, downloads. And on that page, you'll find the prayer guide, amongst other resources. It is an incredible gift that you would want to learn alongside us at the invitation and to engage this podcast. If you have interest in our two formation experiences, the School of Prayer is our 9-month study and practice of the rule of life. And then our School of Contemplative Listening is our 2-year certification program that I facilitate with Cami Beecroft Mann. Both of these experiences are pursued at what we call the vital intersection of contemplation and justice. You can find information about those things also under that formation tab on the website. Again, thank you for listening. If you have found help from our podcast resources and would like to help us out, we can't do this without your help. Please share the podcast with others. Word of mouth is the greatest way that we can connect with people. We are a small, fledgling nonprofit, and we need your friendship. We need your collaboration. So again, please don't be shy. We solicit your feedback. You can find me again at josh@theinvitationcenter.org. And if you have means and resources to financially support us, it would be incredibly helpful to have your financial support. You can find a way to submit one-time donations or to set up recurring monthly donations by going to that website, theinvitationcenter.org. At the top of our homepage, there's a button that says Partner with Us. It is truly good to be able to share with you. I hope and pray that your Lent season will be an opportunity to open yourself more intentionally, more sincerely and actively to this giving and receiving of God's love and grace. Until next time, may you become even more dependent upon the love of Christ. Amen.